Good morning. Welcome to our roundtable panel this morning. It's very nice to have you with us. It is Friday. We have arrived. It's the 8th of May. Very nice to have you with us. And we will get into a mixture, a melange of stories. Ooh,
there's that magic word again.
Yes, that you so eloquently used a moment ago that I want to refresh.
Fine.
As I talk about our stories this morning. Roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org, and reminder, you can post comment on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. Today's post, 5/8/15, oddly enough, the date. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Joseph. What a beautiful day.
Isn't it gorgeous? A very, very nice day. It's going to be just warm and... Oh, all right.
Yeah, there's something... something
get off my lawn, you kids!
Wow.
Caught again.
Hey, Hopper, can you shut the window?
Yeah.
Someone's going to start a lawnmower in a minute, and then
we
know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Newsman Ray Graff is here.
Good morning, boys and
girls.
And
we're very happy to have the always erudite Blair Horner from the New York Public Interest Research Group, also known as NYPIRG, with us this morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Couldn't be better.
Excellent. Thank you. It's very nice to have everybody here. We'll get into a whole range of stories. We'll start off with the British elections. This is obviously the big story of today worldwide, and we will talk about that for a moment. And then, because we both have Alan and Blair here, we obviously want to talk about what's happening in New York State. Or maybe what's not happening, in New York, in New York State. We will first, as I mentioned, go with David Cameron. Prime Minister David Cameron and his Conservatives won a resounding victory in the British general election with nearly complete results on Friday, showing that the party had secured an overall majority in Parliament. The vote was a stunning disappointment for the opposition Labour Party, who had shifted the party away from the more centrist strategy it pursued in the late 1990s and early 2000s under Tony Blair. Ed Miliband stepped down on Friday, opening up a new debate over the party's direction. Alan, what do you make of this?
Well, I already received one nasty note about something I had said this morning, that Cameron won. You know, Cameron won. So Tom says, "Hi, Alan makes the same error that David Cameron and so many others make. The UK is a partnership of countries, and one partner, I presume the Scotch he's talking about, have emphatically rejected Cameron and all he stands for. His writ does not even crawl in Scotland."
Huh.
And they don't speak, melange talk in Scotland.
Haggis talk. They have haggis talk.
Haggis. I've had haggis. Have you ever had it?
Of course.
Well, yeah. It's,
I could not picture Alan eating haggis,
well,
by the way.
I can tell you one thing. I didn't eat much of it.
No.
That's right. He thought it was a hot dog.
Thought it was sushi.
So back on track, I hope. It is a stunning victory. The pollsters got it all wrong. They thought it was going to be very close. It wasn't very close at all. I think that the Scottish issue is fascinating, because what I think happens here is that by a now enough margin, they said, no, we're not going to get out. Now, there are those who think this means that they will get out, but we're not getting out. But we're going to elect our own people to make sure that you keep your word. And interestingly, Cameron, the first thing he did this morning was to say they're going to have more independence than any other like-minded group has ever had in the world within a system like ours. And I have a feeling he's going to keep his word, because otherwise they'll just vote to leave.
Speaking of independence, what does this say about the future of the EU?
Well, I think the EU is in some trouble. I think it will survive, because to the member states, it's intolerable that it doesn't survive. They let a lot of people in, and now they're paying a certain price for that. So, for example, you know what's going on in Greece. Portugal has bit the bullet and seems to have come through it. I'm betting that it continues.
Well, but the part of the central plank of Cameron's re-election bid was to put it up to a vote in merry old England as to whether or not they wanted to stay in the EU.
Right.
I don't know what the polling is in terms of how the British people feel about that, but that certainly could open the door. I mean, the UK left, that's a body blow to the European Union in a way that if Greece defaults out of it, the system, it doesn't have the
right.
same impact.
Well, I am sure, Blair, that the pollsters will get it right this time. No, I think what happens is they wait until near the election, and then the fear-mongering starts about how Britain cannot go it alone, how they're really tied into it now. And I suspect that the people, despite the bitching that goes on
what?
About it. Yeah, you're allowed to say that.
All right.
This is,
you're really
you raised the bar from
it's public radio. Yeah, it's public radio.
that goes on about it is, or the complaining, if your
much
ears
better.
Are sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Vetching.
Whining.
We'll in the end say, hey, we came this far, we got to stay with it.
I think you're wrong. I think they will vote the referendum. Whether they'll get out is another thing, but the overall referendum, which he says will happen before or by 2017, they will vote to get out.
That's wow. interesting. You really think that?
Yes, I do.
One day Mario said to me, do you really think that? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, who cares? No,
is that
no,
what your I... implication is, sir?
Well, Ray, you don't have a vote, just to be fair.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
On to another panelist.
Does anybody you want in on this, Blair? What do you think?
No, it's fascinating. I mean, the whole thing could unravel before our eyes. I mean, the Greece default is seemingly looming, and if the UK in another year or so votes to leave, the whole thing could completely unravel, and that could be devastating for the world economy.
What about U.S.-UK relations?
Well, I mean, Cameron's, you know, again, I'm a state-based guy, right? So all
right.
I know is what I read in the newspapers. But the United Kingdom has been, you know, because of the budget cuts and the fiscal austerity, has really dramatically cut back on its military might
right.
and has been much more independent of the United States. And so I think that you have a historic relationship that probably doesn't go away. But increasingly, instead of Great Britain, people might be calling it Little England when it comes to being a world power.
You know, it is a little bit different. People compare the conservatives over there with the Republicans here. But it's not really so. So as you just mentioned, quite correctly, Blair, Cameron said, you know, we're not going to put all kinds of unlimited money into defense here. There are those people who are critical. In this country, the Republicans are defense, defense, defense. And England said, you know, or Great Britain said, we're not going into this Mideast mess. I think that's one of the big reasons that Cameron sort of became a centrist as opposed to a rightist and why people trusted him.
Yeah, this is still blowback from the Iraq War and Tony Blair.
Sure.
And that's, I mean, the ripple effect on that, you know, nobody could have seen. But it certainly has played out in a big way in terms of British foreign policy.
Exactly right.
Let's take a break. We will continue and move on to other subjects. We welcome your letters, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Blair Horner, Ray Graff, I'm Joe Donahue. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Temple Emmanuel Kingston, presenting Marching with the King, Rabbi Israel S. Dresner. Speaks about his relationship with Dr. Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement tomorrow at 7 p.m., TempleEmmanuelKingston.org. The ADK Cafe, a delicious kitchen in Key, New York, serving home-cooked breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day, TheADKCafe.com. The Office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986, WoodstockDentist.com.
to see. We all believe in praying for our immortality. We pose this question to our children, to cause them all to stray and live in tiny.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is Friday, and we have many issues or tissues.
Many you tissues. Need a tissue?
Yeah, I do.
It's, how about a lozenge?
Dayquil.
Yeah.
Many topics to discuss, and we'll get to those. Joe, in. Yes.
Joe, am I allowed to congratulate you on an award you just won?
Oh, you won an award.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you get?
Well, he gets, I don't know, but it says the, the Communicator Awards. They're very prestigious, are in, and congrats are in order. Joe Donahue has won an award of excellence for on-air talent.
Oh, my gosh.
Lucas Willett has won for production sound design for Preserving the Story of the American Jukebox. And Jim Lavulis has won in the same category for North Adams Goes Unsilent.
Congratulations, you guys.
That's a big award. That's terrific.
How come I didn't win anything?
You've won in the past.
I never win anything.
Yeah, well,
they never nominate me. They're like, oh, just put him in the corner. He's fine. So don't nominate him for anything.
You make a point.
Yeah, they do. That's where I sit, in the corner.
Whoever they are.
Just grumbling.
Yeah, they are, right.
Yeah, it's the powers that be in the newsroom.
Yeah, you live over on that right side of the room.
That's right.
If they had a snarky category.
You know what? I don't need this. I'm full of Dayquil. I don't need your jive.
All right. Let's go on to. Look, we're almost out of time.
Oh,
but
good.
Do you have letters, Alan? That'll save us three or four minutes.
There's a very interesting letter from Judy, who we hear from every once in a while, who says, "Greetings, folks. I'm enjoying your coverage of the British election. For your information, though, the Scottish people take umbrage at being called Scotch, which is equals to liquor. Mm. As for haggis, there's nothing that can be done to improve the pronunciation, parenthesis, or taste of that substance. Cheers, your Glasgow correspondent." Isn't that great? That your Glasgow great. Correspondent.
Well, I hope she's having some scotch when she cheers us.
Yes.
Okay, so I had that. All right. And I believe...
There's an app for that.
I believe that's it.
Oh, okay. I thought we had more. That's all right.
Well, if you see one, read it.
I don't know.
You should read it. Oh, and Ashley has already checked in and said, "Great job, Joe. Nice to work with an award-winning
yes.
team.
Yeah.
You are awesome."
You really are, Joe.
Yeah, thanks. It's very nice. All right.
Well, that's not uncomfortable at all, eh,
no,
Joe?
No, it's a complete halt.
What a train wreck.
Great. It's great. I mean, you know, it's good to hear that you're getting some sort of recognition for your work.
Right?
You know? Well,
isn't that?
Perhaps.
True.
Yeah. Depends what the alternative is.
And Blair gets the New York State Award all the time because, first of all, he is the most impressive voice of all the people who keep an eye on things.
Boy,
but second of all, he's always on the front page of the New York Times.
Yes.
When you get on the front page,
true.
And you get on the front page of the New York Times, that makes you special.
Yep. Me and David Cameron.
We have 3 minutes, so I want to start. I want to talk about the Skelos thing, but let's in our 3 minutes. What is the mood? I mean, you're down at the Capitol now. What is the mood down there? Just over the last 2 weeks
on the Senate side, you know, the tumbleweeds are blowing through because everybody's hunkered down trying to figure out what to do, and so the mood is basically paralysis in terms of getting anything done until the Senate sorts out what they're going to do. And so that sort of freezes up everything. Luckily, it's the beginning of May, which historically is not that productive anyway. But now they have a good excuse.
Yeah.
Is there even a sense of...
A whiff.
A whiff.
Okay. Now this is award-winning.
Of embarrassment.
No, right now it's raw politics. What do they do? How do they keep their majority together? How do they not implode under the pressure? And they're all, you know, scared. Everyone up down there is walking around looking over their shoulder to see if the, you know, the U.S. Attorney's Office is bearing down on them. Because remember, it's not just Skelos. Assemblymember Bill Scarborough pled guilty and is facing prison time. This week. So it's been a big week in Albany in terms of anti-ethics.
You know, Alan and I were talking about this earlier this week, and I just, maybe you can clear this up for me. I've heard both 4 and 5 as the number, but is it true that the last 5 Senate Majority Leaders have been under indictment?
Well, you have majority leaders. Yes, it's been five because you have Bruno, Sampson, Smith, Espada, and now Skelos. But when Espada was majority leader, Skelos was the president in that sort of coalition arrangement had. Yeah. So that's
because I heard four out of
that's
five.
What, there's an asterisk. It's like five. It's like A-Rod's home run last night.
I gotcha. All right.
Speaking of awards, Sydney wrote in, I proudly present the award for Snark and Challenge, parenthesis, in the special category of Challenging Alan, to Ray Graham.
There you go. See?
You got an award.
Okay. Well, you know, it's like Little League now. Everybody gets an award.
That's
what's wrong with America, people. That's what's wrong with America.
This is the DayQuil talking now.
But don't you like when your kids go home with the award?
No, I mean, like, not if they don't deserve it. No.
Do you tell them they don't deserve it, or do you let them think that they deserve it?
Oh, I tell them they deserve it. Oh, you did wonderfully. Yeah, okay. Last place, oh, wonderful. Excellent.
0 for 100?
Yeah. Great job. You showed up.
All right. Ray told me when I walked in this morning it was going to be a weird show. He was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. We'll take a break. We'll regroup, and we'll get into more of this right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday, the 8th of May. Alan Chartok, Ray Graff, Blair Horner, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your comments.
The award-winning Joe Donahue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're going to get your trophy.
Speaking of which, another letter. Congrats on the award, buddy. This is to you, Joe. Yay, Joe. You deserve it. Always enjoy listening to you. And when it comes to Britain, the only thing I really care about is the new princess. I'm sure others share my view. Let them worry about what's happening over there. I hope that doesn't sound too mean, and that's from EJ. No, no, no. And Cece says, the New York State Senate Republicans all benefited from Leonard Litwin, he's 100 years old, you know, a donation through the LLC loophole. Instead of wringing their hands, these senators can do us all a favor by allowing S-60 to get on the floor of the Senate and prevent people like Litwin from having such outsized influence, and that's from former Senator Cece Kasich. And let me just say, it isn't, right, Blair? It isn't only the Senate Republicans. No. Now we have a story this morning that the governor, who said he didn't talk to the real estate industry about and to the Litwin's firm about any of this, turns out he did, right?
That's right. That's been reported. Yeah. That's right. And Litwin pumped in almost $1 million into Governor Cuomo's reelection campaign. So he's been a bipartisan giver. Well, the argument was that the governor never met with Glenwood management while they were giving all this money to him. And then it turns out that a review of records shows that, in fact, the governor was in on a meeting where Glenwood management was represented. And the governor's spokesperson's response was, well, you know, it was a few years ago. There were other people in the room. How could he possibly remember everything?
What would have been discussed?
I'm sorry?
What would have been discussed?
Well, I don't think we know what the topic was, but there's been a lot of real estate. There's a lot of real estate issues that deal with New York City and Manhattan in particular. The state has programs that allow for low interest loans for development projects. The state has tax abatement and tax expenditure programs that benefit real estate interests in Manhattan. The state regulates through rent control. Keeping rent more affordable, and that issue as to how many apartments qualify for that is a constant legislative issue. And there's probably a million other issues. I mean, we found out in the U.S. Attorney's complaint that Glenwood Management's involved in issues on Long Island as well. So they're a big development company. It could be the sky's the limit on the issues that they could have been talking about.
Yeah, but what's interesting here is that two of the three men in the room, you know, are, you know, in real trouble now.
Two of the three amigos are now
real trouble.
Down to one amigo.
So now you have a governor who says, I didn't even meet with these people. Now it turns out he did meet with these people. Do you think this might spell potential trouble for him? Governor Cuomo?
We don't know anything until the U.S. Attorney's Office acts, because whatever's happening in Albany, the terror that you see in the eyeballs of New York State's elected officials all stem from two words, preparare.
And the two words he said, which were?
That's right. Stay tuned. Which maybe he should get the communications award.
Yeah.
Now that you think about it.
Send him a trophy.
And he repeated.
Not everybody gets that award. It's a major award. Let's not deprecate it.
All right. You're right.
And of course, by saying that, he's deprecating. Isn't that great?
Doing just
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
We'll get out
Oh, well, you found me.
Yes, let's get our Allen decoder rings out for
that. Yeah, that's right.
All
right.
Compliment equals shots.
Start talking into English. English to start talking. Dictionary. Yeah. By prestigious, he means crappy award.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Boy.
And I know because I won it a lot, so I know they don't know what they're doing.
There you go. That's nice.
But they did in this case.
Yeah. Oh, in this case, they absolutely
of course,
did.
You're welcome.
They judged a body of work. It's
okay.
true.
Yeah. That was a shot.
Well, that was
a shot. Did you have a question? Joe, you had
a
question
not
on
a
this,
shot.
Right? We were talking about Skelos. And
so,
the governor.
Thank you, Blair.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. So you bring this up of looking at where we are and what I guess I just don't quite understand is that we've now we've been a laughingstock, but now you know we're nationwide. We're the butt of the jokes of New York and the corruption. And, you know, I asked you the question about the five indictments because, right. I mean, the Daily Show was all over this
That's
the other
right.
night. I mean, they did a whole thing on it. And it's just, you look at it and you say, okay, well, even if we press reset, how do you get back to something that would be perceived as normal?
Well, if it's five Senate majority leaders, and by the way, two out of the last four speakers, one of the last three governors had to resign. One of the other governors had to plead guilty to lying under oath and paid a $62,000 fine. We've had one comptroller go to prison. I mean, yeah. I don't know what you want to reset it to. I think you really want to start all over again. And it may turn out this neutron preet in terms of keeping the beautiful buildings and getting rid of all the people.
No, I like that. I like what you just said, the neutron device.
I was using it to draw you in.
Not everyone's going to understand that. The neutron device was designed to keep the building standing
and
kill the people.
That's, right.
That's amazing. Right. Blair.
Well, I'm hoping, of course, not to
Can we get
die.
Blair a trophy?
Well, it's collage.
Order
we've
one.
We've had haggis, scotch, and now neutron.
Right.
Arlo sang Tom Paxton's song about that. Remember that? About he wanted the un-neutron bomb, which would collapse the building and the clothing on people, and he's, you know, and but just bring us back to nature. Okay, forget it.
Who's on the DayQuil? That's what I want to know today.
Well, as long as we're on the subject, Joe, you said we're the butt of all the jokes. I didn't quite get the reference there.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean by butt?
Well, I mean we're the. What do you mean? You know exactly what I mean. We're the butt of the jokes.
Communicate, Joe. No, I look. Just to get back to your point, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly Joe is going to take massive overhaul, and my guess is until the U.S. Attorney's Office is done with Albany, because it appears. I mean, look, the U.S. Attorney in Manhattan has a lot of things on his plate, right? He's got terrorists to go after. He's got organized crime to go after. He's got to track down the bums on Wall Street that rip people off. He's got to go after bad banks. That's another story we could talk about. And yet he's devoting some of his FBI and U.S. Attorney resources to go after Albany. He clearly wants to clean the place up. And my guess is until he's done, we really won't know what it's going to take to fix the place. But certainly at some point, you're going to hit a tipping point. You have to hit a tipping point in Albany where at some point, all of these convictions, indictments, scandals, controversies tip the scales toward, justice and good.
But the only way to do that...
Hope springs eternal. Right.
Yes, it does. But the only way to do that is to really make some changes in the way in which the legislature operates. If you continue doing it the way that you're doing it now, you have no real chance because human nature takes over. And these characters, for whatever reason, think they can keep on doing it and we keep on catching
them. Well, it comes down to fundamentally, it's not just the legislature, Alan, it's also the executive, as I mentioned.
Absolutely, it is.
We need independent enforcers. I mean, we have these captive state ethics watchdogs that are controlled by the political elite. You need an independent entity like what's turning out to be the U.S. Attorney's Office. But my guess is that New Yorkers, New York's political elite would behave differently if they thought they could get caught. And right now they don't think they can get caught. And that's why they talk on cell phones in sort of crazy ways. They think no one's watching, no one's going to catch them. And until that changes, we all drive faster on the thruway when there's no speed traps. And in Albany, there's no ethics speed traps. Until that happens, people behave badly.
And by the way, some of your colleagues in the Google groups, the good government groups, I'm talking about your NYPERG.
That's right. I can take it. It's my turn in the barrel, Alan.
No, on the contrary. There are some who every time one of these minor league ethics fixes that the governor comes up with or that they come up with, they say, yeah, that's good. That'll save us all. It won't. This has got to be major stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't you think ultimately nothing changes on a huge scale until the voters have had enough? I mean, there seems to be a certain amount of apathy.
Well, how can the voters have enough? You got the Silver, the Democrat, in real trouble. You've got Skelos, the Republican, in real trouble. What exactly are the voters supposed to do?
Well, and the elections are sort of rigged. I mean, the lines are drawn by the winners. The campaign finance system is rigged so the incumbents have the big war chests.
Absolutely.
I mean, we talked about it before. Littman was able to give just about $1 million to the governor's reelection effort because of the sieve known as the limited liability company loopholes. And so the system's rigged. So, Ray, I agree, but my guess is until Barrera gets done with his work, whenever that is, maybe he's done now, but whenever that is, I don't think we're really going to know what it's going to take to fix the place other than put some cops on the beat.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Blair, which I know you'll do, but as I remember it, when the Moreland Act Commission, remember that, everybody? The Moreland Act Commission, which was supposed to root out corruption, which the governor canceled because he could, because he said it was his, in the middle, there was a point at which the staff and the Moreland Act people had issued subpoenas for the very real estate industry we're talking about now. And that's when things went south. We hear from our friend Ken Lovett and others that the calls came down from the second floor. Cancel those orders to go after the real estate people.
I mean, and that I think underscores the point for the lack of independent enforcement. You create a panel, you tell them you're going to be independent, and as soon as they start acting independent, you smack their hands and tell them they can't do it. So that's the system that has to change. I mean, there's a reason why you have cops walking the beat, and that's to deter crime and to go after bad guys. When you don't have to have cops walking the beat, you have more crime. That's the problem we have in Albany. There's not enough cops.
Well, Jack wrote in, while I do not dispute the reputation that our state is getting for corruption, I doubt seriously if we are the most corrupt. But we have people like Barrera who will step up to the plate, which many other states don't have, and thus the state stuff gets challenged. Corruption, in quotes, only becomes corruption when someone has the courage and fortitude to bring it out in a potent way. Hurrah for Preet and his staff from Olive Bridge.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Atelier Rene Fine Framing, custom picture framing at the Chocolate Factory in Red Hook. Conservation materials and methods, AtelierReneFineFraming.com. Hampshire Veterinary Hospital, corner of University Drive and Route 9 in Amherst, Massachusetts. Reminding listeners that keeping ticks off the body is essential for prevention of Lyme disease, HampVet.com. And the Madison Theater, Albany, New York, showcasing classic and new movies, now open the Madison Live Music Performance Theater with a performance from jazz musician Mike Stern, May 15th at 7 and 9 p.m. TheMadisonTheater.com for tickets.
City. The representatives are alright. In circulation, the snake and the tiger. Waking up and shaving in industrial light.
A sommelier in the studio to help us decide what topic to go to.
Yeah,
next.
It's more like a jack in the box.
Well, it's another word, though. It's another word,
right,
for the day. We're doing very well.
For the sommelier. All right.
Haggis.
Two of the biggest nation's biggest banks will finally put to rest the zombies of consumer debt. bills that are still alive on credit reports, although legally eliminated in bankruptcy, potentially providing relief to more than a million Americans. The announcement comes from Bank of America, and J.P. Morgan Chase have agreed to update borrowers' credit reports within the next 3 months to reflect that the debts were extinguished. The move is a victory for borrowers who credit reports have been marred as a result of the reported debts, imperiling their job prospects and torpedoing their chances of getting new loans.
Okay, so let me get this straight. If I understand what's going on here, so there are people who get in over their heads and they declare bankruptcy. So far, so good.
Yep.
Okay. What happens is that once you have a formal bankruptcy, your debt is extinguished. So far, so good.
Correct.
Okay.
Check.
Therefore, that when somebody goes to check your credit, and they find that the old damage that had been done to your credit is still there and hasn't been extinguished, the banks are being accused of doing wrong. Is that right?
Well, sort of. I mean, when you declare bankruptcy and the courts go through your finances and try to get everything that they can to pay off your debtors, your debt is extinguished, according to the courts.
Yes.
And what the allegation here is despite that, the banks are keeping on your credit report the outstanding debt as a way to continue to go after the people who have successfully declared bankruptcy to get money out of them, even though the courts have said that they don't owe anyone any more money, that they've paid all of their debts to the greatest extent possible. And so that's where the zombie sort of aspect of this thing comes from. It's not dead. Even though the court says your debt is dead, it keeps coming back to bite you, like when you try to get a mortgage or get a job, and there's people looking at your credit reports. And so that's the allegation. Is they're not supposed to keep it on your record, but they do.
I think a better question is why an employer should look at a credit report when someone's looking for a job.
That's a very good question. I mean, I could see it maybe if you're at the highest level of finance.
Yeah.
Or you were the comptroller of WAMC. But I certainly couldn't see why anyone would care about Blair Horner's debt record if he's trying to be the NYPERG guy.
Right.
Well. Then let me ask you this. Should somebody who has done prison time be discoverable by an employer who is about to hire? In other words, is that a fair thing to ask on an employment application, which we do, many people do, right?
That's a good question.
Because
I don't know how that's the same thing.
No, nothing is the same, Ray. Nothing is the same.
Unless there's debtors' prisons, then I suppose you're right. But I mean, I don't see how that.
But that was interesting. Yeah,
if you go to prison and you've harmed somebody, you could say the employer might be interested in that. In this particular case, because you didn't pay your credit card bill, why would someone who was looking to hire you to work at Walmart would want to be looking at your credit report to determine whether or not you should get hired?
Should
that
be
doesn't
able
seem to.
To
be connected one to the other, right? I mean, that's sort of the issue. But to come back to the article that Joe was referring to, this is why people hate banks so much. They're hugely profitable, and yet they're going after these poor people who have had to declare bankruptcy because they got in over their head. They go through the whole legal process. They get picked clean by the courts to pay as much as they can, and the banks are sell off these so-called debts.
Yes.
And then so people can keep going after them and keep hanging them up, saying, yes, you want your job at Walmart or WAMC or whatever, you got to pay us the $3,000, even though the court said you don't have to. And it's just greed.
Okay, but for all of the people who are listening to the show right now, and let me play the devil's advocate, you know, even though I don't fully understand what I want here or what I think here. Do you mean to say that anybody who is listening now who has a small business shouldn't know when they hire somebody whether they practice fiscal prudence?
I'm saying that the bank shouldn't be able to go after you for debts that the courts have said that are now extinguished.
Okay. All right. I mean, I hear you. But, you know, somebody, I think it was you, Blair, who just said, well, if the guy was applying for a job as comptroller at WAMC, that might be different. who sets those standards? In other words, where's that bar?
Where is the bar?
That's right. This is. Is this back to Scotch again? What's going on here? No, I mean that's right. But the question is, how much personal privacy does a human being have? A consumer have? An employee have? Can you look at everything? Can you look at their medical records, Alan? I mean, it's the same argument could apply if somebody has a history of being a cancer patient. Should you be able to look at that? Because maybe they'll have a higher absenteeism rate.
So Blair,
you draw the line somewhere, and I think the line should be like violence.
You always draw the line somewhere. But are you comparing the fact that somebody had cancer to somebody who left a lot of people out there holding the bag who didn't get paid?
Yeah, but the question you raised was, should someone who's applying for a job, should they have to fork over, should the employer have access to that person's credit report as part of the decision-making for whether or not that person should get hired?
And Alan thinks you should.
Alan's playing the devil's advocate.
I am playing the devil's advocate.
Okay.
Answer is no. I think that's an area where you should be, unless there's a good argument as to why. You know, in other words, you're going to be dealing with money in a way that could cause irreparable financial harm to the institution you work for. I think that should be off limits. Just like your medical records should be off limits.
Well,
what church you go to should be off limits in terms of what is in terms of your own personal privacy.
Well, I certainly agree with you about the medical records should be off limits. But I'm sure that there are people listening right now who say, wait a second now. I want to hire people here at WAMC. Everybody handles, some kind of fiscal stuff. You want to know this information. Now, I don't know that we would act on it. I know we wouldn't. But just for the sake of argument.
Alan, the credit report does not just list people who have had bad financial histories.
Yeah.
It's everyone's financial records would be then reviewed, no matter whether or not they've had any outstanding bills or not. And should that sort of, I view it as an intrusion into the privacy of every single person applying for the job, should that be allowed? I think no.
I agree with Blair.
Wow. Write this down, Joe. This is the date in history.
I'm keeping track.
Nina wants to know, where is Alan? I can't see him on the webcam.
Ah. Well, he's,
as you grow older.
He
doesn't
have his telephone books to sit on today, so he's actually right here next to us. He's right next to Blair.
Nina, as you grow older, you start going down in height, about width and height.
Yeah.
So you go down in height, and then pretty soon they can't see you.
But he's here.
Somewhere.
The mouse that roared.
Is he on the phone? Is he on the phone? No, not exactly.
Okay.
He's on something.
He certainly is.
And so is Ray. Dayquil.
Dayquil.
Save us, Joe.
All right.
Communicate.
Are there any more letters?
Joe. No, I'm afraid there
isn't. Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Julius says.
There we go. I thought.
Until the majority of the public understands that they have the power to restore the democratic process by means of the ballot box and then uses that power, nothing will change for the better. But as I said before, wait a second now. What, we can choose, people are being indicted on both sides. And as Blair points out, until you have some fundamental change like the fact that people can run and their campaigns can receive public support, and we have an ethics commission that really, really works, then how can you just... go ahead, Julius, and say, we have the power to change things at the polls. We don't. It's a loaded game.
Wow, that was depressing.
But not incorrect, right, Blair?
Well, sadly, all too true. If you look at the legislative districts, there's, by and large, one-party states.
I can't see you, Blair. What's wrong? I just can't see you.
I cracked the lens.
All right. I think that's about all we have time for today, and isn't that a shame?
See, Haggis.
By the way, Joe, before we go, I just really want to congratulate you on your major.
I know. Forget it. I want you to know how important it is. Here's the thing. You got two other people, though, that won, and we should congratulate them.
We did.
I know. I'm just saying.
After the show, they may take it back.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty much what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
The lockbox pledges. We're up to $90,259, wow. Alan.
I'm scared. I am. We have to get to, what is it, the
375.
And then we're going to get a wonderful, wonderful gift from Mr. Big, who has, as of now, just said he will put $10,000, that's right, Mr. Big, $10,000 if we can make it. I know him. The reason we call him Mr. Big is because he's tall. He is a wonderful guy, Northwest Connecticut, and has been there for us again and again, and wants to do something. He says, "Listen, I can't stand all your caterwauling. If you can do this, I will give you $10,000. And if you can't, you don't get it."
Well, it's very important, and we're not quite a third of the way there, but
we got to move. Everybody's got to move.
And obviously, the fund drive starts June. Well, not obviously, but the fund drive starts June 1st.
Oh boy.
And we have to get going. So WAMC.org is where you go to help the lockbox. Do it today. $90,000, but we still have a long way to go. $125 gets you the aluminum. You want one of these, Blair, right?
I can't wait.
Bottle. You,
yes,
yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I can't
you can
wait.
Put your name on there
it's
if you
a
want.
Weapon.
That's right. And. I thought they removed all those from the studio. WAMC.org, WAMC.org, and I'm pleased to report there will be more show after this.